Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Greetings and welcome inside hour four of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo!
And we talked to you earlier in the show tonight. The big news in the NBA tonight outside of the Clippers win was that the Portland Trail Blazers have fired head coach Terry Stotts, or officially they agreed to part ways. In any event, Terry Stotts, after a big eight-year run, looked blazing in the playoffs every year, but not a lot to show for it. He is now out as head coach of the Blazers. And this was an incredibly smart thing for the Blazers to do. You know, not that Terry Stotts is a bad coach, but clearly, watching this series, watching this team, you can tell they need something. They needed some kind of new leadership in there, because to play and be a nice 45-50 win team and then get to the first round of the playoffs, maybe the second, hey, once they got to the conference final, but they were never close. It's clear you needed something else because you had a lot of talent. And it was something that, look, we talked about it during the series. The Blazers are going to need their own Tom Thibodeau, someone to come in that's going to imprint their own system. And that's going to bring the best out of the Blazers, because this is a pretty talented team. And Damian Lillard's status as a potentially unhappy superstar was going to be the big story in the NBA this coming summer. Is he a guy that wants out? Because after the game last night, Damian Lillard said, I don't know how we lose to a team missing their starting point guard and shooting guard. What does that mean? They didn't play well? No, that means, hey, I don't know how we didn't have the plan to lose to beat a team that was missing their two big players. All right, Yusef Nurkic, who was a really good center, was asked, hey, is this the place for you right now? He said, I don't know. Now, this doesn't mean he's fighting with his teammates. It doesn't mean that CJ McCollum keeps stealing change out of his locker. Ooh. No, this means I don't know if what's going on here is the right fit. So clearly, Terry Stotts was going to be the fall guy. And the number one thing you couldn't do if you were the Blazers was you can't piss off Damian Lillard. He's not a guy who is always very vocal about things, right? He's been too quiet over the course of his career. If anything, he's always, I love staying in Portland, I love being here, and I dig him for that, right? It's a really cool thing to say, I'm okay being in the small market, I really want to win, I'm comfortable, I don't want to leave, but man, I will if I have to. And that was a big warning shot that he fired across the bow last night with how upset he was. I mean, he never talks like that. I don't know how we lose this game. It's back to the drawing board, was the big comment by Damian Lillard. And this is where today suddenly everywhere is, here's six landing spots for Damian Lillard. Dame to the Lakers is trending all over social media. And you knew that they had to fire Terry Stotts, because you have to keep Damian Lillard happy, and you got to keep the nucleus of your team happy, because it's a pretty good one. This is not a team that needs to be torn apart. You have really good players. All right, you look, McCollum is really good. That's worked for a long time. Nurkic is pretty good. They figured out how to use Carmelo Anthony, and Carmelo Anthony clearly wasn't done. I thought he was done. He wasn't. They have a lot of talent. Yes, you need a little bit more bench, but who doesn't? That's a lot of teams in the NBA. But this is a pretty good team, right? You made that big move for Norman Powell at the deadline. He's a terrific player. You got a lot of talent, and you're underachieving. When your star is happy, you have to keep your star happy. And they wasted no time in saying, okay, we're going to part ways with Terry Stotts. And that's the way to keep Damian Lillard in town and keep him happy. Because if they didn't, if they said, we're going to figure things out, we'll let cooler heads prevail for the next couple of weeks, we'll take some time away, get back into it, you know, all that normal crap you hear at the end of the season. No, we're going to need some time away. The Knicks were doing that. We need some time away. No, figure crap out right now. You guys stunk in that playoff. But this is, you know, that's when you get to the point where people are in Damian Lillard's ear and they're saying, hey, dude, you got to go, man. Dude, go to the Knicks, man. Go. You kidding, dude? Hey, try to get that trade to the Lakers, man. Try to go. You should go here. You know, try to get to the – and suddenly that's where things spring up. So it was a great move tonight by the Blazers saying, all right, we're going to keep our star happy, because now Damian Lillard's not going anywhere. He'll at least, you know, see things through the next coaching change and at least another season or two before he decides, okay, now I want to move on, because because he is only 30, and he's got probably 5 or 6 years left in, quote, his prime. He's going to slow down a little bit when he's 35, but he still has some time left. And once you have a power in organization, it's kind of tough to leave it. And that brings us to what has just transpired from Yahoo NBA insider Chris Haynes. We used to have Chris Haynes on the show all the time.
Sure.
And then he went to Yahoo, and then, you know, now, you know, we can't have him on. But he's got a story that just came out about 20 minutes ago. He spoke to Damian Lillard and said that he wants to have significant input on the next hire. Damian Lillard does, replacing Terry Stotts. He's going to be more vocal with his requests going forward because I don't want my whole career to go down the tubes like this. I've been here for 8 years. I've seen the best of my career, right? I need to have results now. And who does he want for his results? The guy he wants, the actual quote, Tom Thibodeau. No, the guy he wants as his next
Greg
head coach.
Greg Popovich.
Everybody should want Greg Popovich. The guy he wants, and that was a direct quote, blank blank, is the guy I want is Jason Kidd.
Well then.
Direct quote from Damian Lillard to Yahoo Sports on Friday. Jason Kidd is the guy I want. And for all the names that were mentioned, because when the story broke that Terry Stotts was out, Jeff Van Gundy's name was mentioned. I think this is Adrian Wojnarowski.
Juwan Howard.
Juwan Howard was mentioned, which really you're leaving Michigan.
How great would that be?
Dude, you went
turmoil. Here, you got the guy with the khaki pants. I'm going to the NBA.
I got my dream job. Oh, except now I'm leaving. Yeah, sorry, guys.
I had another dream.
Yeah. what was the Scary Movie 3? I have a dream. To what? To have a dream. ESPN reported it was Jeff Van Gundy, Mike D'Antoni, Juwan Howard, and potentially Clippers assistant Chauncey Billups to be considered for the job. Lillard's got a good relationship with Billups, but his preference is Jason Kidd, who's been sitting next to Frank Vogel for the last year and a half. And now Frank Vogel doesn't have to look over his shoulder like Jason Kidd's the Grim Reaper. If Jason
remember
Kidd's
that last
go.
Year?
Yeah, I mean, that was
a
big
story
deal.
That was.
Remember we thought Jason Kidd was going to be the head coach by midseason, right? Take it over for him.
Well, and then everybody bought into Vogel, and away they went.
So now it's Jason Kidd who is Damian Lillard's guy, and I guarantee you he's going to wind up being the head coach of the Blazers, because if you've gone this far to say, Damian, what do you want? Okay, well, I want a new head coach. Boom, he's gone. What do you want? I want Jason Kidd. Okay, he's our guy. Well, I have no doubt that they might make it official tomorrow that Jason Kidd is the new head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. What Damian Lillard wants, you got to give him.
Assistant coach the last 2 years for his career. 183 and 190 between Milwaukee and Brooklyn. When you look at it from a larger standpoint, this goes into everybody's lives, their own work, wherever you are. We appreciate you being part of the extended family here at Fox Sports Radio. But whatever you do in life, you don't know what you can get without asking. And when you're in a position of power and you have some leverage, you know what you do? You flex. And for Damian Lillard, through Chris Haynes, he flexed. Said, all right, that's the guy I want. Stotts out. And so it should be a fairly quick hiring process, one would suspect. But you never know what the limits are unless you ask, right? Certain changes in our business, raise your hand. Here's what I want to do. Yes, no, maybe, ponder it over. You know, talk to me in a month. Whatever the line is that comes back, you at least put it in the minds of, hey, this is what I want to do. This is where I'm going, right? You want a promotion. You want a raise. You need time off. You got to raise your hand and say, hey, here's what I'm envisioning. You don't like the three-hour meetings that you did over Zoom the last year? Here's how you figure out, you know, going to your boss and saying, this is grossly inefficient and a waste of my time. And a waste of the company's time. You're wasting our time. Start talking like Mr. Hand. Go watch him for a motivational tool if you need to. But it is for Damian Lillard. That time you look around and everybody else has asked for what they want. Most of the superstars got their wishes, right? This is the coach mm-hmm. I want. This mm-hmm. is the guy I want to come team up with me, right? LeBron, hey, I want Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, I don't want to go anywhere but L.A. All right, here we go. James Harden. Press conference. I don't want to be here. These guys, we're not going to win. These guys are no good. What happened? Gone. And then within a week, it was like, you know, they took the flashy thing from Will Smith and everybody forgot about it. It's like, oh, look how amazing he is with these other superstars and a good team. And you remember how good James Harden was. And then they started getting hurt and it really got weird. But now here we are in the playoffs. But again, you don't know what you can get unless you ask. And Damian Lillard in big print as your Friday night news dump.
Yeah, I mean, he could be rivaling LeBron as far as the star with the most input on his franchise. Hey, this is great. You know what else I want? I want a big throne, and I want a Big Mac, and I want a big dog, and I want all of it now. All right, we'll get it for you. We'll get it for you. It's going to happen. This is a big power play, and Lillard clearly knows this is his time to flex his muscle. And the thing is, if he gets Jason Kidd, which he will, I mean, really, by the end of the show tonight, they could name Jason Kidd the new head coach. Jason Kidd's strength is turning teams around very quickly, right? When he went to Brooklyn, 7 years ago, they were really good, all right? You know, they won 44 games and they got to the second round of the playoffs. I mean, this is when Brooklyn was still, the Nets. You know, they weren't the destination. Hey, we're all going to team up here. This is great. No, the Nets were still the Nets. Okay. But he was really good, and he turned them around and then couldn't get along with ownership. So he was traded to the Bucks. Remember, for a couple of second-round picks, you had a head coach who was traded. And so he winds up coaching the Bucks and has pretty good success there with them. I mean, a lot of it is all pre-Giannis. But, he gets an average Bucks team that looked like they were building towards something into the playoffs a couple of times, but then, hey, things don't go well enough with the Bucks front office, so he winds up leaving, and he's sitting there looking at Giannis going, oh my god, I could have had Giannis for so long, but I couldn't get along with anybody in Milwaukee, and now I'm out, oh my god. But that's clearly what he has done. He went to the Nets, he turned them around really fast. He went to the Bucks, turned them around really fast. Well, here he is, the team's already there. He just has to get them to buy in and figure out the correct defensive system where they cannot give up 1,000 points on every during every single game. And if he gets the buy-in from the players, it works. And he's got everything you need for a buy-in from a team as a head coach. If you're going to be the head coach in the NBA, you got to have two things. Right, you got to have two things 100%. You got to have cachet with the stars on the team where they will follow you. Right, so you have to have some kind of resume that the players understand and say, okay, yeah, this guy's done some good things. Right, they know what he did in Brooklyn and Milwaukee, and you have to be somebody who has played the game and their careers that the players remember. And everybody is still, even the young players, remember Jason Kidd's career with the Nets, with the Mavericks, going to the finals and winning. It's not too long ago that he was playing. It wasn't 25 years ago. So everybody has. He's got the cachet with the players that he's won, that they all know him because he's been involved in the NBA as a player. He went right to being a coach. He played a long time. He's got that respect. So if you have those two things, you can get a buy-in from teams in the NBA. You have that. You have the cachet. You have the resume. And then you have the ability to connect with the players because you were a former player. They know your career. They trust you.
Well, and Dame watched him coach.
Yeah.
Right? Dame's not a third-year guy that's got a lot of flex.
Yeah, he's seen him for a while.
Right? And you look at Stotts, I mean, 8 straight playoff appearances, impressive, but at some point you got to go, the old analogy comes in, A to B, B to C. You got to B, and you've been hanging around B terminal for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You're waiting on that other train, and I think if you stay here, you're running in place and it never comes.
Yeah, it's going to be a case of this will happen fast and things will happen fast. And look, even though Jason Kidd is kind of like a little bit of Bill Parcells where I'm going to go, or Jimmy Butler as a coach where I go someplace for a couple of years and boy, things are great and then things get bad.
Sure.
And then we move on. Okay. I mean, that's kind of – the Blazers will take a couple of great years, and then we'll figure it out, 2 years from now where else we want to go.
Hey, it ain't show friends. Show business, baby. Winning.
Look, Look, I'm sure by the middle of next year, the Knicks players are gonna grind.
Yes.
And Tom Thibodeau's gonna grind on them for his, you know, as stubborn as he is to not make changes and not do things. It'll happen. But hey, look what's happened. The Knicks were in the playoffs, and I say the same thing. I'll worry about them not liking Tom Thibodeau when after we've had a couple of second round exits in the playoffs. All right, because I know where we're coming from. We're coming from not even sniffing the playoffs. Okay, so we get to. I'll worry about that when it happens. But now the Knicks are good, so I'm all right with that. It's the same thing here. Hey, what about Jason? Well, worry about that when it happens. You know, if this is who your guy wants, if this is who Damian Lillard wants, this is who the players like, okay, then he's your guy. I mean, by the end of the show, it should be Jason Kidd. It should be on the photograph. Okay, sorry.
Make it
Thanks,
happen.
Terry. I got Jason. Do you really think that now that this came out and Damian Lillard has said, Jason Kidd is my guy, that the Blazers hire anybody else?
No, because you're playing with fire.
No.
Then he starts going to Hawaii, is shirtless, looking like a hippie like Aaron Rodgers. And now you got problems.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Now you got problems because he's shirtless. And now you don't know what to do. He's got no shirt on. Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So there it is. Damian Lillard wants Jason Kidd to be his guy. Yes, this could happen in the next 45 minutes. But coming up next, we head to Vegas. Now that the Lakers are out, who really is the betting favorite? Is everybody falling in love with the Suns? Everything you need to know going into this big weekend of the NBA playoffs. Coming up next right here. Jason and Mike. Fox.
Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
And now that the Lakers are out, are the Suns really the new darlings in Vegas? Well, joining us now on the hotline, longtime friend of the show. You can follow him on Twitter at Bernie Fratto. That is at Bernie Fratto. You can hear him right here on Fox Sports Radio. Hear him on the wavelengths over the course of this weekend. He joins us now after watching the Mets just throw up on themselves against the Padres. It is Bernie Fratto. What's happening, Bernie?
Gentlemen, 109 degrees in Las Vegas today. I don't want to say it was hot, but I saw a thief stealing hubcaps, and he was wearing oven mitts.
Did you, like, wait for – how long did you wait to come up with that one? How long did that take you?
I've used that for decades, actually. I can't lie. It's one of my oldie favorites, but I got distracted between Flock of Seagulls and Don Kirshner. It's been a very eclectic show tonight.
And
Would you expect anything else?
No, yeah. Not at all. High bar for you guys.
It's like I picture Bernie going into a Vegas show. Oh, I got to steal that one from my show. I like that. All right, hubcaps and oven mitts. Hubcaps and oven mitts right there. All right, so Bernie, a lot of talk today going on about now that the Lakers are out, all the betting darlings the Suns are. The odds went from 60 to 1 to 8 to 1. Are you believing in the Suns that suddenly they're this good?
Well, I think the Suns are this good, but let's sort this out mathematically from the sportsbook standpoint. When the Lakers lost, there was a collective sigh of relief. The books are basically off the hook. It's a free roll in the playoffs. You have to remember, in the last 7 months, there has been constant bombarded action on the Lakers from all angles. And, Mike, you're right. The Western Conference tickets are as high as 45%. But the championship tickets were also 40%. So right. When you consider the amount of money that's now dead money that's just sitting there, the books actually did a double happy dance, because right now the only team they actually have liability with are the Atlanta Hawks, because when they were 80-1 back in October, there were a couple of astronomical bets that would cost the books a couple of $1 million if that were to happen. I don't think that's going to happen. The books are actually rooting for the Bucks, Clippers, and Nets. If the Bucks and Clippers win, they won't owe anything, you know, be a break even. And if the Nets win, they'll actually win a little. Now back to the Suns. The Suns were 80-1 last October. They haven't gotten any attention whatsoever. They've had a very good year. They finished as the number 2 seed. By April, they'd crept all the way down to 22-1. And at the start of the playoffs, they were actually 14-1. These are numbers per BetMGM. Right now, the Suns to win the championship are plus 550, and they're plus 350 to win the Western Conference. The fact of the matter is, although the Suns are a very good team, and I do think they're outstanding, they just beat the Lakers. Chris Paul played with one arm. They're not getting a lot of attention from the betting markets. Utah's getting some. They're plus 110 to win the Western Conference. And, of course, Brooklyn now has become the new Lakers. They're clear. They're all the way down to plus 165 to win the whole thing and minus 30 to come out. Check that, minus 130 to come out of the East. One last thing. The Miami Heat got a ton of respect at the beginning of the season. They got all kinds of action, and that started to wane. But that was a liability for the books, too, had the Heat won it this year. But they're out of it as well, so books are looking fat.
Look at that. Look at that. When we talk about just the handle, Bernie, if we can back that out a little bit, when we talk about the Lakers and being, you know, a 45%, 40% of the wagers, what kind of dollar can we ascribe to that to give folks an idea of the largesse?
Millions. Millions of dollars, clearly, because I know that there was futures money coming in on the Lakers all the way up until last night when it was announced that Anthony Davis was going to play. So when the Lakers are good, it's scary for the books because there's a couple of reasons. People believe they can cash with them, which is why back in October, the Lakers were basically only 2-1 then as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the books never really stuck their neck out that much in terms of any astronomical odds. The second thing is, being here in Las Vegas, we get a lot of action from California. So therefore, it's a double whammy. The Lakers are good, and people are in California. They come to Vegas, and they bet them. And now the books are frankly hoping they can bring in some more action on the Clippers, who you could have got 9-1 to win the whole thing before tonight's game, and they're a six-point favorite Sunday against Dallas. So we've got to watch that as well.
Hey, Bernie, I want odds on Jason Kidd to be the next head coach of the Blazers. What do you give me?
Right now, probably even money, to be honest with you. It's probably,
What would you have given me 24 hours ago that Jason Kidd was going to be the next head coach?
Well, I actually thought Portland would get past Denver, so that shows you what I know. But I think when Damian Lillard, when you've got a transcendent talent like that, who's doing everything he can except sell popcorn, and he's got to believe. You know, he's already on record as saying, I'm not going to chase the ring. Let's stay right here and do something special. And to your point, you're right. Jason Kidd is a turnaround specialist. And so I think it's a natural hire.
All right, Bernie. The fight night is this weekend as well. Come
Love
on.
It.
I want to run around like Nick Cage yelling, fight night, fight night, wearing a zebra shirt or whatever it was. Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul. What are we looking at in terms of betting and what kind of scene that creates? Because obviously Vegas is open for business in a big way. And I know folks standing in line, getting to pools, as you say, 109 degrees, just trying to get yourself submerged as fast as possible.
Well, just to set the record straight, as David Letterman once famously said, this is only an exhibition, not a competition, so please, no wagering. The books are not putting up a line on this because they're using exhibition rules, and so they're just not going to waste their time with this tomfoolery. You cannot bet that here in a regulated market. I'm sure in faraway places someone will hang a number somewhere, but without a referee, good luck.
He so got the word tomfoolery in.
He did.
Way to go, Bernie.
We got tomfoolery in, and we got in Don Kirshner, so we're having a pretty good
it's
night
a
so far.
Pretty good night.
You know what I meant to ask, Bernie? I always wanted to ask you this, and I said, next time we get Bernie, I'm going to ask this. If I wanted to make a blanket bet, like, so I just want to walk into a casino and at like noon on a day where there's a full slate of Major League Baseball games, and I want to say, I want to bet there's a no-hitter tonight. What kind of odds do I get if I just want to bet a no-hitter in one of the games, full slate of MLB games?
Well, there are 97 sportsbooks in Las Vegas. They probably hang that. They hang very clever props like that. But I would guess you'd probably get someone there in the neighborhood of, 100-1, something along those lines, because it's still a fairly rare event. I know we had six of them in the first 6 weeks, and, now we haven't had one in 12 days, so I don't know what's going on. But
we had Blake Snell for a while. He gave us a ride.
To your point, there is a gentleman, William Hill, which has established himself as a very prominent sportsbook here in Las Vegas. They've been around since 1939, and they have a very storied past. They're based in London, and one of the most famous and unfortunately infamous bets that was ever made was a gentleman named William Threlkill, who walked into a book in London in 1968 and wanted a bet on will we land a man on the moon. And they actually, 48 hours later, came back with these pretty astronomical odds and said, but it had to be within 3 years. Lo and behold, it happened in July of 69, and the gentleman cashed on the bet, only to sadly pass in a car accident a month later.
Doesn't that make you believe, though, that he could have been part of the staging and green screen if it was going to pay out that well?
You haven't been hanging around with Kyrie Irving, have you?
Well, you know, the world's
I'm not that smart. Right. Well, what do I know? I'm no high school dropout. I went the full 6 years, but there are some things I just don't know.
You can follow him on Twitter at Bernie Fratto. That is at Bernie Fratto. Of course, you hear him here on Fox Sports Radio every weekend. Bernie, as always, buddy, appreciate your time, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me. People smarter than me tell me essential quality will win the Belmont tomorrow. Good luck.
Oh, there we go. Okay, essential
Nicely
quality.
Done.
There we go. So not Medina. Medina Spirit's not going to win. Okay, let me write that down. Medina Spirit's not going to win.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
You know, you mentioned Montana Fats, which may be the greatest name in the history of sports.
Oh, it's good. Great. Yeah, there's no question.
How much do you want to bet Montana Fouts' parents were like the biggest NFL fans in the 80s, right? They got all stuff all over the place. They got all the gear.
They must have just loved that early 80s matchup of the Niners against the Chargers. It's like, maybe that's, well, no, she's not that old. I'm wondering how the name came about.
Oh, I mean, we got to hear the story now. I mean, greatest name.
She would have been born after those two were each retired.
Yeah, yeah. The most important thing is, are there any siblings and what are their names?
Let's see. I got it right here. Actually, it's funny you say that. I got, it is Rice Marino is her sister. All right, believe it or not, that's there as well. And I have Roger Craig is the brother, so that's pretty cool. We have this. We have Steve Young Fouts, so we have that. So
but the Roger Craig brother was actually named after the pitcher, turns out.
Yeah. And then,
the old
and then
manager?
There's a distant cousin named Joyner Winslow Jefferson, so there's that. Thanks a bunch, Steve. I appreciate it, buddy. Montana Fouts does throw 70 miles an hour. The fast she was clocked at has been 70 miles. Shows a fastball, a drop, a curve, and a change. And really, it is the greatest name in the history of sports. It doesn't get better than Montana Fouts. 877-99 on Fox, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, okay, listen, something to not fall for. All right, now, luckily, Cam Newton is okay. Maybe you saw the report earlier in the day that Newton had to leave Patriots practice today because of a hand injury. Now, late tonight, we get word that his hand is all good, so it doesn't look like there is anything that's going to keep him out of practice for a long time. However, this dovetails into the news today when Bill Belichick was asked about Mac Jones that, hey, Mac Jones is doing everything we expect of him. He's ahead of where we hoped and doing what we want him to do, but there's a long way to go. This is going to be the biggest sham of a quarterback derby in the world, because clearly what's going to happen is it's a fixed derby, right? It's a fixed competition that as long as Mac Jones shows he's got it, he's going to get the job. What Cam Newton does is irrelevant. But as long as Mac Jones shows, hey, I can handle things, he's going to be the starter. And you know what? Belichick's going to be smart. He's going to do it early in the preseason, so he can wind up getting all the reps that he needs to get when we get into preseason games and everything else. He's not going to wait until the night before the season and saying, hey, Mac Jones is the guy. I mean, it's a fixed competition. If Mac Jones clearly isn't ready, it will be Cam Newton. So this is going to be Cam's the guy, until the day he's not, when it's okay, it's Mac Jones, we have to give him the chance, we have to show it. But it's a, it is a fixed derby. What Cam Newton does is irrelevant. He could look like the greatest quarterback in the world over the course of the next few months. If Mac Jones looks like he's ready, he's going to be the guy right away. They're not going to wait and have him play. No, they're going to go with Mac Jones right out of the gate, and it's a fixed competition.
It's almost like you're saying that Cam's really not hurt. It's just an opportunity to get Mac Jones first reps.
Oh.
Wow, that's how, that's what I heard in what you just said.
Cam, we want you to fake an injury to your hand to get Mac Jones reps. You know, it's just, if you look, if you want to be on the team for a little while longer. Yeah, yeah, sure, coach. Whatever you say. Yeah, my hand hurts. Can I get out of practice early? I want to go see A Quiet Place too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
It is,
all right,
it
great.
Is
thanks
one
a lot. I appreciate
that
it.
I really do want to see play out, though. You know, I don't go so far as to call it the sham, but, you know, as we talked with Jason Cole before he went on a rant, that I'm still not quite sure how that happened or why it happened. Because I just brought up a report out of Chicago, and that was the end of that. But the idea that you're looking at by game five, game six, anything to avoid that Tom Brady game would be about the point that Mac Jones would be expected to come in. Maybe this accelerates things if Cam misses any significant time. But yeah, Mac Jones is going to get every opportunity to play and become the guy. Because the division is still there. I mean, you talk about the Jets. Becton can't get on the field, man.
No, just stop saying, stop with that. Stop. I know the guy's going to be hurt his whole career, but I didn't need that right now. I didn't need it. We were talking
Steve
about
Steve brought
that.
It up before. I just thought I'd
Yeah, and I blew it off because I didn't want to talk about it because it already made me upset. Here's your big guy.
No, you wanted to talk about Montana Roland.
He can't stay. No, it's Montana Fouts. Montana Roland. Frostburg just woke up. What? Montana Roland. What? Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next. Hey, we put a bow on the biggest story in the NBA coming off tonight. Coming up next right here, Fox.
You, Aaron Rodgers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yes, sir.
So the Clippers beat the Mavericks in Game 6, 104-97, to force Game 7 Sunday at Staples Center. The home team has not won a game in this series.
Yet somehow the Clippers are six-point favorites. Riddle me that, Batman.
I will say this. I will say this going into Sunday. It has been a great run for Luka Doncic, and clearly he has shown that he is the one guy you try to go team up and go play with because he's a young superstar who's going to stay in that market, and clearly there's room for you to carve out your niche as the 1A guy because you put your finger over Doncic's name, you look at the Mavericks team, and you go, this looks like the Knicks team from like 5 years ago, so it's really not very good. But the Clippers stars are playing better. And in a winner-take-all Game 7 game that's in Los Angeles, the Clippers have to win one game at home. And Kawhi Leonard and Paul George have been playing terrifically. They've done it the entire series. They had 10 bad seconds at the end of Game 5, which clearly they should get a lot of criticism for, right? Kawhi Leonard taking that ridiculous three, Paul George passing to Terrence Mann. Yes, those guys are on the hook for those plays. But they have both done everything you expected of them. And I expect the Clippers, now that they've figured out a way to not shut down Luka Doncic, but make him uncomfortable, because I told you going into the game, you got to hit him a little bit. You got to knock him around. You got to throw different looks at him. You have to do something. You can't just let him dribble around the floor and do whatever the hell he wants to. The Clippers did that tonight, and there were stretches where Luka looked tired or he looked like he was a little unsure because the Clippers finally spent more time trying to just shut him down. Hey, what about all the other guys? Don't worry about the other guys. Worry about Luka Doncic. And Doncic had a good night, 29-11. It's a great night for anybody, but the nights he was having in the playoffs, he's got to do it. He's got to have old LeBron type series and nights where he goes for 40, 45. That's how the Mavericks are winning these games. That's not going to happen on Sunday. The Clippers found the formula to slow them down. They're playing at home. Clippers beat the Mavericks on Sunday. They go on to the next round of the playoffs.
More Kawhi on Luka, what we were calling for all series long. Hey, here it is. And look, he's uncomfortable. He still went through for a double-digit assist total. That's fine. But his shooting was off. He was uncomfortable. Even open shots, suddenly, you know, second-guessing, right? Didn't pull the quick trigger. And he finished with 29 points. Those that watched the game know a bunch of those came late and were just, all right, we're not following you. Just take the layup. Let's keep the line moving. So as much as I like chaos, I have to pick the Clippers. I picked the Clippers to advance in our bracketology to actually get all the way deep into this playoffs. So I'll take them to win game seven, although I have zero confidence. Just because you can't after these six games. Are you kidding me? Which makes for great theater. So as much as people want to moan and complain that, oh, there's no Steph, there's no LeBron. If you don't like a game seven where you have absolutely no damn idea how these teams are going to play because no home team has won yet, then you don't like sports.
Now, I will. Oh, boy. I have to actually shatter an image that we put out there for a few minutes ago. Listen, we told you that, look, Montana Fauci threw a perfect game tonight in the Women's College World Series. Greatest name in sports history, right? Montana Fauci.
Yeah.
Parents have to be big fans of football in the 80s and all of these things. No, according to an article from ESPN in 2019, okay, this is someone who just sent it to me on Twitter. Her parents loved vacation. Their name was Fouts, but loved a vacation that they took in Montana. And so that's why she is named Montana.
It was either that or she was conceived there. I knew exactly where you're going as soon as you brought us down.
Yeah,
you brought America down because we were thinking of great moments.
It's an
of
homage
the 80s.
An homage to a state her dad loved on a hunting trip. That's what it was. That's how she got
here. We are thinking that we're going to start seeing brothers and sisters and cousins that are named after linebackers and that they had those hard hit videos that we love so much. No! Just they like going fly fishing. Damn it!
Thanks to Emperprises for sending that out. Now, I'm still going to pretend that it's not, that it's about, you know, being fans of quarterbacks of the 80s. For Mike, I'm Jason. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.